Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for February 21st, 2015. Today is my great pleasure to be interviewing one of the Internet's pioneer educators in the psychology of love. I'm referring to psychologist Jamie Turndorf, known as Dr. Love by millions, who have been going to her website, AskDrLove.com, since 1985. Thank you, Dr. Love, for being with us on Cosmic Love today.
Oh, I'm so happy to be with you. I just wanted to clarify it since 1995, since, you know, the web didn't exist in 85, but I think you're...
Did I say 85?
Yeah, you did, but the reason why I think it's so cool that you said that is because I had a premonition in the early 80s that I was going to be bringing the Dr. Love industry and ministry out through computers, and that was in the early 80s that I saw that, but I didn't know how because the Internet didn't exist. And then in the mid-90s, when the Internet was born, I said, oh, that's how we're going to do it. So you were not wrong. It's just, it's on the web, it's been since 1990.
Well, that's perfect. You know, sometimes I make mistakes on purpose so I can be corrected in ways that gives the fullness of the picture.
Exactly. Very, very cool.
So I'm so grateful you're with us today. I'm amazed with your story. I'm sure our listeners have listened to some highlights of your story in the book trailer I posted with your introduction, and that'll be with the archive shows in the future. People come to see this show, and they'll see that introduction with the archived your book trailer that's archived with a link there in the description.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to going into today your dialoguing process that you highlight in your book, you know, Love Never Dies. But first, I'd like to hear more about your longtime marriage to Emile Jean Pyn, who had the heart, wisdom, and courage to speak truth to power and bring light to dark places.
Mm-hmm. And we're still doing it. So I'm going to tell you, I'm so passionate to bring this story out. So I'm going to just begin by telling you that when I was a young girl, I actually had a premonition of the guy that I was going to marry. And I literally saw him fleshed out. I saw his face. I saw everything. And so I said, I'm just going to wait until the man I saw appears. And it was on the first day of my freshman year at Vassar College that he did appear. I'd been shut out of all the intro sociology classes. And so I asked the secretary what I could do. And she said, go ask the department chair, Jean Pyn, if he can find a seat for you in one of the closed classes. Well, the minute I stepped into his office, I had the first and only out-of-body experience I have ever had in my life. I literally felt my soul shooting at high speed through a tunnel to the end of my life. And then I shot back into my body, and I got the message, remember every aspect of this meeting. He's going to be everything to you one day. Now, I found out soon after meeting him that for most of his life, Jean had been one of the most famous Jesuit priests in history. He taught at the Vatican. He founded a movement called Liberation Theology designed to fight church oppression from within. And he actually launched to international fame when he publicly opposed the Pope and the Catholic Church as they were trying to block the legalization of divorce. And he was a radical feminist priest. He didn't want to see women trapped in marriages where they were being abused. So he fought on the grounds of religious freedom, separation of church and state. The church should butt out of the private sector. And he won. He got the divorce bill passed, changed the course of Italian history. Now, soon after, the Pope granted him the dispensation of his vows, so he wasn't excommunicated, and he left the Jesuit order and the priesthood, and he was recruited by Vassar, where I met him after he had been there for 10 years. Now, in my senior year, I needed help with the statistical portion of my thesis, and I had heard that Jean had also been a statistician, in spite of, you know, in addition to speaking 10 languages and writing hundreds of books and thousands of articles in 10 different languages, and he had 10 doctoral degrees. He was also a statistician, and he had founded the Vatican's first and only social research center. So I asked him, even though he wasn't my advisor, would he help me with my statistics? And he cheerfully gave me his time, and within a couple of weeks, We knew. We were crazy for each other, despite our different cultural backgrounds and religions. We were twins separated at birth, complete soulmates. Now, I should say that I was raised by two devout Jewish atheists. The only religion my parents practiced was religiously hating each other. Okay? They taught me not to believe in God or the afterlife. I never read the Bible or went to synagogue or church, and John and I did not discuss religion, at least not when he lived in a body. So here we are, we're inseparable, crazy for each other for 27 years. Now, in the last year of his life, we both started having premonitions that he was going to die of an accident. We just didn't know when or where. On the day we were due to depart for our final vacation in Italy, lightning struck our rose arbor and destroyed it, and then I saw about 50 huge black crows in the backyard. I got a bad feeling, but we went anyway. Now we're in Italy, and one day we're sitting on the beach, and he has his hand raised up over his head as if to block the rays of the sun, and the next thing I know, a bee swoops down and stings his hand at the exact location of Christ's stigmata, and I watch my beloved suffocate to death in front of my eyes. Wow. Now, when I tell you I was hysterical to have him ripped from me in this way. So I'm back in the hotel room alone, shaking, trembling, crying. And the next thing I know, I feel that man's hand stroke the entire length of my spine. Now, I sit bolt upright. I look over my shoulder. Nothing and nobody was there, but I'm telling you, he was there in spirit form, and he has been with me ever since. And his astonishing and ongoing manifestations to this day, and often in front of witnesses, have proven to me that we don't die, and therefore our relationships are not meant to end in death. So I have created a groundbreaking new transdimensional grief therapy method that diverges from the Western approach, which is grieve, let go, and move on, which only leaves the bereaved at an even greater loss. Instead, my method shows how to say hello, not goodbye, without the assistance of a medium, a channeler, or a psychic. And then there's one more thing to Love Never Dies. It's unique. As a shrink, we both know that millions of people harbor unfinished business with the dead. And again, Western grief therapy gives us no way of making peace with the deceased. And my new Dialoguing with the Departed technique offers the first vehicle in history that allows the bereaved to not only reconnect, but also make peace with the deceased.
Well, this sounds really important and a follow-up to what I understand about, you know, inner child, inner family therapy.
Mm.
That whole dialoguing process that goes on with the nearest and the dearest. And it sounds like there's a lot of this is, especially with the deceased, is when I say interdimensional, it's what I've always understood as interdimensional, you know, the inner sense of our, you know, the loving father, loving mother, loving daughter, loving son archetypes in the inner family, you know, the families we grew up in and our formative years and how we internalized our parents and relationships, siblings, etc. And it sounds like, and this is why I was really interested when I, you know, first began looking at your material. And when I got your book, it's the first thing I looked at. It was this dialoguing process, and as I went through it, my impression was that this is like an extension of what a lot of other people have touched on, but as you say, conventional psychiatry just does not go really beyond, as you said, you know, just letting go. And again, which leaves you more devoid and depressed in many cases.
Absolutely. So let me tell you, because what I love for people to hear, you know, so you can go through the experience with me and share with me in my discovery, really, of why we need to reconnect and stay connected. So in part one of Love Never Dies, what I do is I pick up from the night that Jean left his body. And may I give you a few of the examples from part one?
Sure.
Okay, so when I come back from Italy, here I am sleepless. I've been sleepless for days, and I come down into the kitchen, and I actually hear Jean saying to me, open the back door, I want to show you something. I didn't hear a voice. It was more like a thought that popped into my head. I didn't know at the time that's called mind melding or thought induction because, you know, I just never read anything spiritual or religious. I didn't know what the heck it was, but I knew he was telling me open the door. So I open the door, and what I see sitting on the back step is a chipmunk. And I can see the chipmunk is not acting like a chipmunk would. He's frozen in place. He looks like he's in a trance. His eyes are glazed over. And now I watch that chipmunk begin to rip at his little face with his hand, mimicking the way my husband was ripping at the oxygen mask because the air wasn't going into his lungs. And for 20 minutes, I watched this little chipmunk mimicking my husband's bodily death experience. And tears are raining down my face because I know what I'm watching. And after 20 minutes of this, the chipmunk visibly coughs up a hunk of mucus, and he's in peace. And I knew my husband was telling me through this little animal, and I've coined the expression open vessel because animals, both domestic and wild, are natural open vessels for the spirit to come through and speak to us. So I knew my husband was saying to me, I'm okay. You see, I've shown you through the chipmunk. Okay, so now a couple days later, I have to fax my husband's death certificate to Verizon to take him off the phone line. I had made many multi-page faxes throughout the day, no problem. But now when I go to fax his death certificate, the cover letter faxes without a hitch, but now the death certificate will not fax. The machine freezes up. I try with the obit, same thing, cover letter, but the obit won't fax. So I try 20 times. I finally give up. The next day I go to my lawyer, I bring the papers. I don't say why, I just say, could you do me a favor and fax these for me? I'm waiting and waiting. After about 20 minutes, all the secretaries come out from the back crying. They say to me, Jamie, we tried 20 times. Each time the cover letter faxes without a hitch, but the death certificate and the obit will not fax. He's telling you he's not gone. So now I go home, and again I have to fax this obit, and again it hangs up. So I say to him, Jean, I think you're doing this because you're trying to remind me that you are still here with me. If I promise to try to remember this, will you let the facts go in its entirety? I cancel the fact. I feel this tidal wave of love pouring into me. I know he heard me by the feeling he induced in me. I reissue the facts. It goes through in its entirety. Okay, wow. So now around this time, wherever I go, strangers start walking up to me. They don't know me. They don't know Jean. They don't know I'm widowed. They don't know anything. They just walk up to me and say, your husband says, tell our story, and then they walk on. Okay, so now one day I'm driving, and I feel the need to pray to Jean. Now, this is wild because I never prayed in my life, but I'm being led to pray. And I ask him to please help my friend Emily find love. Now, Jean didn't know Emily. Emily didn't know Jean. She never even saw a picture of him. After I issue the prayer, I feel again that tidal wave of love pouring into me. I look at the clock. It's 4:58. That night, Emily phones me. She says, Jamie, you will not believe what happened. What happened? She said, at 4:58, I fell into a trance, and your husband appeared to me. She describes him to a T, okay? Mm-hmm. She says, he told me to find love, follow the gray stones to the church in your neighborhood. Now, by having her repeat my prayer to him, he was proving to me that he had heard me. And he was also blessing Emily by sending her to the church. The next week, I go to my professional group, and I tell this story. One of the members of my group, named Mitch Wood, says, what was the name of the church that he sent you to? She says, oh, it's called the Claremont Church. Mitch gasps. He says, oh, my gosh. The Claremont Church is New York's only liberation theology seminary. Remember, Jean founded liberation theology? So he put his stamp on that manifestation all over it. Okay, so now one day I'm crying because when we are newly grieving, we cry. You know, it was my hobby in the early days. And I'm lying in my closet crying, and I'm thinking, I have to call my friend Ann. No, don't bother her. It's the middle of her work day, and I'm hemming and hawing on this point. And finally, about a half hour later, my phone rings. I drag myself out of the closet. I run to get the phone. It's Ann. She says, Jamie, did you just call? I said, no, Ann, I was crying in the closet, but I was thinking I had to call you. She says, but Jamie, my phone rang, and your name and number appeared on the caller ID. So we were flabbergasted because we realized Jean did this, and he put my name and number on there so she would realize she had to call me. Now, a year later, I have a bad cough, and I'm thinking, I'm going to suffocate to death the way Jean did. And I beg him, please do that phone trick again. This time do it with my housekeeper, Donna. 2 seconds later, my phone rings. It's Donna. Jamie, did you call? I tell her the story. She says, Jamie, my phone rang, and your name and number appeared on my caller ID. Okay. So now I go to my writer's group, headed up by this devout atheist named Gabriel Davis. I tell him all the stories that I tell in part one of Love Never Dies, including the phone trick. So Gabe says, you know, Jamie, I'd like to see that phone trick repeated, and I'd like to see whether your own phone shows a record of dialing out even though you haven't used the phone. So I forget that he said he wanted that proof. A month later, I'm set to have dinner with Gabe and his wife, Robin, and I'm driving in my car behind them. All of a sudden, I feel that tidal wave of love again. I look at the clock. It's 4:58. I get to the restaurant. I step out of the car, and Gabe runs up to me, and he says, Jamie, you will not believe what happened. What happened, Gabe? He says, at 4:58, my cell phone rang. He said, I picked up the phone, and your name and number appeared on the caller ID. He said, I answered the call, and a man's voice said, is Jamie there? Is Jamie there? He said the voice had an accent, and it prolonged the syllable there. Well, Jean was French, and he prolonged the word there. It sounded like there. He said, Jamie, it wasn't a real call. The voice just faded away, and it never clicked off. He said, get your phone. See if it dialed me. I dig into the bottom of my purse, pull my phone out. Lo and behold, it had dialed Gabe at 4:58. So the point of Jean's over-the-top manifestations. These are for everybody because he asked me to tell our story. So these manifestations are for you and for everybody listening. Because after he left his body, he said to me, Jamie, let our love shine like a torch that lights the path for others. So our story is meant to let you know that your loved ones are here with you too, and they're just waiting for you to open your door to them.
Wow, it sounds like the power of love in orbit. When I say that, I mean what he did when he was an embodiment. He had extraordinary momentum with physical manifestation, with heart wisdom,
mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, he has, you might say, he earned, you know, his stripes for the ascension, and with those stripes and his momentum of mastery, he was obviously been able to step through the veil to this day.
Absolutely. Yes.
Demonstration,
yes.
Of that trying to connect on the phone today, and how that was amazing. I mean,
he would not let your phone hang up, so you could not call me on the conference call line. And when you emailed me and said he would not hang up your phone, I felt that tidal wave of love, and I knew that he was saying, I'm here with you in the interview. So I immediately said, Jean, okay, I've acknowledged your presence. And then I emailed you, it's okay now. We had a little chat, and as soon as I emailed you, you called in.
That was an amazing demonstration to me.
My
goodness, you know.
No, I know. Isn't that awesome? That's so awesome. Everybody calling me at the Hay House radio show that I do there, Love Never Dies, says, man, you know, we feel the magic surrounding you. And he said to me right after he left his body, Jamie, now do you understand why you're Dr. Love? Because all the millions that you love and touch, I can love and touch them through you.
Yeah.
So I want to share this because this is so important for people to understand. So in part two of Love Never Dies, I talk about how we have to overcome the false beliefs and the religious teachings that prevent us from reconnecting. And I also talk in part two of Love Never Dies about how it's even possible to communicate with those in spirit. Now, obviously, the first obstacle for most people is to overcome the wrong belief that we're not supposed to stay in connection with our loved ones in spirit.
I was just going to say that.
Right?
That seems to be the first thing.
That's,
you know, if you block it with, you know, I call it BS belief systems. You know, BS,
oh, good.
As a belief system. If you block it with the belief system that you can't connect, you don't. And I haven't talked to anyone about this, but as I've been doing the show Cosmic Love for almost 8 years now, I found that when I'm preparing material on the computer, that many times when I, you know, and this has happened so many times the serendipity, synchronicity of the computer either locking up or
there you go.
the copy I'm writing when I go to publish it to the internet, the formatting would be, I realize that it's something needs correcting, and I'll go back and correct it, and then it copies fine. This has happened so many times.
But you know, you're killing me here, because ever since I did the Coast to Coast radio interview, okay, and my book Love Never Dies became an overnight bestseller. That night, I got an email from a guy named J.C. Gold. He's a really open channel. What he does is he illustrates your loved ones, whether living or not in a body. And he doesn't know you, but the next thing you know, he illustrates an incredible likeness. He says to me, I have to tell you, Jean came through to me so powerfully while you were on the show, and Jean's been with this guy ever since, bursting his brains, JC says, with communications and confirmations and manifestations. And you just said that exact same thing that JC told me. He said, whenever I go to write something to you that Jean doesn't agree with, he forces me out of the document and bounces me into my inbox. And then when I go back to the document, my autosave function has not worked. It's erased what Jean didn't agree with.
Oh, I believe that fully.
It's crazy.
I have seen it over and over. And you know, I'm familiar with, and quite often on the show over the years, I've talked about the Ascended Master teachings and different aspects of the Ascended Master and how they different times step through the veil, you know. And in the teachings of the Masters of the Far East, and there's people that have got into this history of the Ascended Masters know that this Padre Pio, how he manifested, bilocated and manifested in the clouds, I know the story, in the IM teachings in the 30s, how Sindelar, the famous portrait painter, how Jesus had appeared to him, kept appearing to him until he got the idea to paint him, and that's the picture of Jesus that's quite often used in the Ascended Master teachings, and also the picture of Saint Germain and the picture of Cyclopea, the all-seeing eye of God, all appeared, came to Sindelar, with the message clearly that he was to paint these portraits.
I'm so passionate. I got to tell you this because I'm like, John is like pounding down my door that I have to say this.
Okay.
Why do I know that it's wrong that we've been told we shouldn't stay in connection? May I tell you why?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's my first night back from Italy. Christopher, I hear him quoting something to me. I don't know what it is. So the next day I go to his priest, and I tell him Jean's been talking to me and quoting something. I'm getting ready for Jean's funeral, and I tell him this. So the priest raises his brow like, this woman has lost her freaking marbles, right? I don't know if he was thinking it exactly like that, but he gave me that look.
Yeah.
So now I told him what Jean had said to me. The priest goes white. He crosses himself, and this is what he says. Dear God, Jamie, at first I didn't believe that Jean was talking to you, but I do now. And then he said, you are quoting an obscure biblical passage from the Communion of Saints. Like I would have known, I said.
Yeah.
I never read the Bible. I never went to church. Jean and I didn't discuss religion, at least not when he lived in a body. Now, it took me a year to understand why Jean chose to quote that and only that passage to me. Because remember, he was a religious pioneer in life, and he continues to be in the afterlife. Mm-hmm. The Communion of Saints says that our loved ones in spirit are one with or in communion with God and the saints. And since we're supposed to stay in communion and communication with God and the saints, this means the Bible is telling us we are supposed to stay in communion and communication with our loved ones in spirit because they are one with God and the saints. So the point Jean is making to me and to all of us is what we've been told about the afterlife is dead wrong, if you'll pardon my pun, right?
Yeah.
We are not meant to live in an emotional wasteland, separated from those we love, waiting until we die and enter heaven. Because as Jean told me, heaven is a state, not a place. Heaven is all around us. Heaven is here and now. So this means we are supposed to reconnect now.
Wow, this is actually a parallel so closely to what I understand of the Ascended Master teachings, where you have a connection and a dialogue with your higher self, your real self, your Christ self, as a mediator for heaven, for the source of divine love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In other words, And my understanding of, you know, of course, the path of conscious evolution, the path of spiritual evolution, is to involve and evolve our, you know, our individual and collective conscience, you know, with a capital C, you know, as far as an awareness, you know, a dialogue, a connection,
that's
you
it.
Know, with Source.
Absolutely. And so Jean is saying, so he's saying, I, and this is what I'm doing in part two, I'm helping you overcome all the obstacles to reconnecting with spirit. You know, all the misconceptions like, oh, you're opening the door to the devil, or, oh, it prevents you from moving on with your life, which is obviously untrue, because reconnecting instantly transforms our grief to joy, so we're more able to enter our life fully and with joy. Or, you know, you won't be able to form another relationship. Untrue. You know, we don't say to a mother, you know, you love your first child, you can't have any more because there's no room to love more than one. Untrue, right?
Yeah.
And then what's really cool is I talk about how the fact that we're all born with this innate ability to communicate energetically. We do it on a daily basis. And that is what energetic, what spirit communication is. It's just sending and receiving energetic signals. And we do it like, you know, we park at a light, right? We look over at the driver in the next car. Doesn't that driver always look back at us because he
yep.
senses the frequency of our gaze, energetic communication.
I've noticed this from the time I was a kid, and I'm
you've
sure,
noticed, right?
I'm sure anyone that's, you know, I'm sure just about everyone listening to this show has had experiences where they've
everybody
seen
knows.
This happen.
And twins know when the other's in trouble, even if
yep.
they're on opposite ends of the world. So, and the thing is, the main reason why we don't reconnect is because we've been told that it's not possible.
That's right.
You know, we're told, and here's the story that this is how I discovered. Because I didn't know about the false teachings until I went to talk to Jean's priest again and told him that Jean continues to make his presence known and continues talking to me about the afterlife and our purpose on earth and everything. So the priest says to me, well, Jamie, once he's in heaven, you won't hear from him anymore. Oh, there are no cell towers in heaven? our signals won't reach. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? These human misconceptions, they're dead wrong. So.
Yeah.
So it's bothering me that the priest said it. All day it's bothering me. So now I go home. It's the end of the day, and I'm due to run a group in my home office. I make the circle for the group, and everybody in the group is late except Ashley. She's a new patient, doesn't know me, doesn't know I'm widowed. She sits down in the group room, and the next thing we know, I hear ding, ding, which is the sound that my front door makes when it opens, because the burglar alarm registers that it's open. Next thing you know, you hear loud pounding footsteps, and they seem to stop in my waiting room. And then I hear the footsteps pounding as though leaving. So I say to Ashley, gosh, somebody must have gotten his time wrong and thought he had an individual session with me. I got to go talk to this person. Now, mind you, my driveway is very long. The distance from the front door down the driveway to where you park is so far that in the time it took me to walk to the front door, there's no way somebody could have driven away. I open the front door. There's nobody walking down the driveway. There's no car parked in the parking area. I come back, and I say to Ashley, there was nobody there. And she says to me, it was a spirit. So that's Jean's answer to what the priest said, oh, once I'm in heaven, you won't hear me anymore. Did you hear those pounding footsteps?
Mm-hmm. Well, I refer to it as, if, you know, that as effective sensory perception, not extra sensory perception. But when you have effective sensory perception, and the only way you have it is transcending your BS belief systems that you can't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when you become open, you know, with that sensitive, then it's natural. Effective sensory perception is the natural state of what I refer to as heart coherence.
There you go.
And basically the line of connection, as I understand it, you know, between as the veil thins and the sense of separation as it diminishes between, you know, the spirit, you know, heaven world and what's between our ears, the holodeck, you know, is there's the heart coherence. This is when I say thinking with the heart, that when you're in coherence, you know, and that effective sensory perception is natural. It's like a communication process. It's the inherent state of heart coherence.
Absolutely, and love is the currency of connection. That's it.
Love is the currency of connection. That's right.
So in part three of Love Never Dies, I show you how to establish your own connection with loved ones in spirit without the assistance of a channeler or a medium or a psychic. And remember, we're all born with this innate ability to communicate energetically. So as I say, communicating with spirit is really nothing more than learning how to tune your brain to what I call the spirit channel. So yeah. Jean showed me how to do this. And in fact, I was doing it all the time. That's why I didn't understand it. He said before he left his body, "You're the most spiritual human being I've ever known." I didn't know what he meant because I routinely communicated with wild and domestic animals. I laid hands on people. I did distance healings. I just didn't know that was spiritual. I just said, that's energy, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So we were already preparing for the energetic communication that would continue after he left his body. I was already doing it. I have a lot of examples of this. So now in Love Never Dies Part 3, I show you what Jean showed me about how to connect with him. And the first way is by this chapter I call Creating a State of Receptivity. Because Jean said to me, "Jamie, the noise of the day drowns me out. Anytime you want to hear me, come to the bed and be still and quiet." So I show you how you have to sit in silence, turn off the TV and the music, use peaceful practices. I help you, you know, figure out which one's right for you, yoga, tai chi, qigong. Show you how to use the breath. Spirit is born on the breath, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I talk about how you have to surrender to your emotional states, but not allow yourself to get too upset. Because intense emotions block the sending and the receiving of energetic communications. So it's kind of like I use the analogy of a dark tunnel. You're in the tunnel and you get a cell phone message. You don't know you got the message because you're in the dark tunnel. You come out of the tunnel, there's a message. So if we allow ourselves to go down into too dark a tunnel, we can't send and receive. I also show you how to use hypnagogic or the twilight states just before sleeping or just as you're awakening, and how to use nature to help nudge you into the reconnection. And then I have some really fun exercises for opening up your five senses, because spirit is pure energy. Your loved ones in spirit are able to energetically send signals to all your senses. So the more your sensory receiver is turned on, the easier it is for you to perceive the signs that are being sent your way. Now, the next thing that's really, really important for the reconnection is a chapter I call Recognizing the Signs of Spirit Presence. Because most people say to me, "Oh, I'm not getting signs." But then when I lay out a list of all the signs of spirit presence, and you know, in this chapter I give you lots of examples, in no time everybody says to me, "Oh, well, that happened, and so did that. But you didn't even know how to recognize that it was happening." And remember, because they're freed from the human vessel, they can influence the material world in infinite ways with all kinds of signs and sounds and animals behaving oddly, like the chipmunk, and putting odd sensations in us, and drafts and temperature changes and chills and goose flesh. And they're also big on symbolic communication with butterflies, and even they will manifest coins that were minted on a year that was significant to you both. Like this year, the anniversary week of his bodily depart, I'm talking to a patient named Kyla, and I said, "This week he always gives me coins that were minted on the year he left his body." And she blinks and she says to me, "Jamie, I almost forgot. Last week I was in my bedroom and I was wearing my cowboy boots that I'm wearing now. They were off of me, but they were in the middle of the room. Next thing I know, I see a quarter falling out of the sky from the ceiling, and it lands in my boot, and I got this message that it was meant for you," she says. So she says, "I didn't take it out. Let me give it to you." So she takes her boot. She dumps it upside down, and at this moment, I hear Jean say to me, "Jamie, it was minted on the year I left my body. You'll see." She hands it to me. I get my glasses. Sure enough, it was. So for most
wow.
people, I know, it's crazy. And I tell all of this in Love Never Dies, but becoming aware of the signs is sufficient for a lot of people to begin the process of reconnecting. But here's where Love Never Dies take spirit communication to an entirely new place. The CEO of Hay House said to me, "We've never seen anything like what you're doing here in Love Never Dies." Because what I do now is I show you how you can dialogue back and forth with the departed to reconnect, to obtain guidance, and most especially, as I said before, to heal unfinished business and make peace. Now, spirits dialogue with us in many ways. So obviously they will communicate with us through dreams, through mind melding and thought induction. They can also communicate with us through signs, but signs are what I call a static form of communication where they just like drop a quarter on you, drop a sign on you, mm-hmm. and we observe it. But now we can engage also in a back and forth communication between us and spirit. So let me give you an example of what I mean, the difference between static signs versus a back and forth communication. Can I give you that example?
Sure.
Okay, so it's the anniversary week of Jean's bodily death. I went to my chiropractor, and Teresa is at the reception desk, and we're alone in the office. And I tell her about Love Never Dies, and then I'm going to give my first public talk. At that moment, I smelled gardenias. I did not say a word. And she said to me, "Jamie, do you smell gardenias?" And I said, "Teresa, that's the scent of sanctity. Jean is giving us a sign that he's here." Now, the next day, I saw a patient who needed to reconnect with her sister in spirit, so I told her the story about the scent of gardenias. And at that moment, I heard Jean saying to me, "I wish I could give you a bouquet of roses." Now, Jean gave me peach-colored roses every week, and I'm going to tell you something about this in a minute. But I heard him say, "I wish I could give you a bouquet of roses." Now, he was dialoguing with me by inducing that thought in my mind. Now, here's how he brought the patient into the dialogue. She sits up abruptly, and she says, "Jamie, do you smell roses?" Now, in that elegant manifestation, he put the thought in her mind and the scent in her nose to use her as what I call a human open vessel to facilitate a back-and-forth dialogue between him and me. So he used her to let me know that I had heard him correctly, "Jamie, I wish I could give you roses." And he also bolstered her confidence in her ability to hear spirit so that she could reconnect with her sister. Right?
Yeah.
Now, here's another example of how we can dialogue with spirit using people who are open vessels. Again, humans who are open and willing to be used in the service of love. So one night, my friend Anne was due to take me out to dinner. Before she arrived, I say out loud to Jean, "Jean, when Anne comes for dinner, it feels like you're coming home to me." A couple seconds later, Anne arrives. She says, "Honey, I'm home." She claps her hand over her mouth, so embarrassed. She says, "I'm sorry I made such a rude joke." I said, "Anne, that was not a rude joke. Jean was dialoguing with me through you. He let me know. I heard what you said, and I had Anne answer, 'Yes, honey, I'm home.'" Okay? Now we're at the restaurant, and I have to say, Anne wouldn't cry if her kid was run over by a bus. Okay?
Oh.
Next thing I know, Anne starts to get this glazed expression. She looks like the chipmunk. Tears start coming out of her eyes. And she says, "You look so beautiful tonight. I wish I had a camera." Now, that's what Jean used to say to me with tears in his eyes when we were out to dinner sometimes. So he was just using her to dialogue with me and tell me something that he said to me always. Now, I promised to tell you the story about what happened with J.C. Gold. So J.C. wrote to me last week, and it was, you know, the week of Valentine's.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Jamie, you will not believe. He told me his brains are bursting from what Jean is doing to him. He said his hands were in his lap, nowhere near his computer. When he said, Jean told him, 'Send Jamie the picture of the peach rose.' Now, come on. This is crazy. Jean gave me peach roses every week, right? But who knew this but me?" So then J.C. says that his computer, all by itself, opened up a menu of his wife's professional photos, and her avatar photo is a peach-colored rose. It pops open, and his hands are nowhere near the computer. And then the caption, the name of the photo reads, "Peaches and Cream." Now, the night before, J.C. had written to me and said, "Jean wants you to know your time is now." And I had written back to J.C. and said, "Jean always told me, the cream rises to the top." And the name of that photo, Peaches and Cream?
Wow.
Crazy, right?
Well, that's a kind of serendipity, synchronicity, you know. I mean, just that, I mean, I've seen enough of it that I, you know,
I know that there is
a relationship. It's all in divine order.
Absolutely.
And there's a relationship with, you know, beyond the realm of what is understood as normalcy bias, the BS belief system.
Right.
You know, and I really believe that this is what's going on with the veil thinning, and I'm hearing so much of it. Not just the host of Cosmic Love and the authors I speak, and it's like the more people that are into this cosmic sense of a connection with spirit, the more they are receptive to healing relationships, you know, with them, with their, you might say, their higher self or their real self or with others, the more the pure intention focuses, you might say, attention for this, a retention of love, you know, when I refer
Absolutely.
To as heart coherence. And with that retention, it's like conscious ascension in a higher dimension naturally manifests.
Exactly. So that's the thing now. So, of course, if it's of the divine, we obviously can't understand it. Then we know it's of the divine. And so now what I help you to do is to dialogue for yourself. Okay, so, and obviously we need to dialogue if someone was ripped from us due to a sudden illness or an accidental death, just to say goodbye to the bodily existence. And just if we want to get support as we travel down the bumpy road called life, if we want help in completing our spiritual development to get guidance, because they're here to be our spirit guides. But what if you're one of the millions of people worldwide who has some unfinished business with someone in spirit? Well, now Love Never Dies in part 3 shows you how you can dialogue to heal your unfinished business. So first I show you how to enter a trance. I have a meditation for making contact. And then I show you how to dialogue back and forth using writing, how to use a tape recorder. I have all these different protocols for you. And I give you lots of case examples. And of course, you know, people are just going crazy with the healing that's coming about. And the most incredibly wonderful aspect of Love Never Dies is, and I've seen this proven again and again, often we have to wait until a loved one leaves his or her body in order to work it out, because in spirit form, they're more evolved. In spirit form, they see how they screwed up. And I learned this the first week after Jean left his body. First week, okay, Christopher? I went to get the car repaired. And I introduced myself, because Jean did the car thing. I don't know them. And I say to the woman behind the desk, hello. And she says, I'm Debbie. And she says, I'm a widow, too. At that moment, her husband bangs down my door, her husband in spirit, and he says, tell her to stop making the same mistake I did, because now she's causing a power struggle with her son, just like I did. So I tell her
wow.
this.
Oh, you know, and what you're saying is so, I mean, it resonates so strongly.
Hence, right?
That the people, when people pass, you know, the deceased, they go in the spirit world, so they see what they did wrong.
Yes.
Where they went wrong. And so they want to make things right, and
yes.
so they try to connect. They try to connect, and if you're receptive to that, they do connect.
Absolutely. And it's so, and I'm so excited because what's happening is I'm doing this now on my Hay House radio show. People are calling from all over the world, weeping in gratitude because I'm helping them dialogue on air, and I'm watching them make peace and heal right in front of my ears, let's say. Now, here's another thing that is so important for people to know. Our loved ones in spirit need our help to help them evolve spiritually. And how did I find this out? It was Good Friday. And Jean made me go to a woman named Lainey. I call her the bird lady. Jean and I had a bird as a pet, and we weren't able to save the bird. The bird was sick. Lainey tried, and that was that. Now, I didn't know anything about her, but he sent me to her on Good Friday. I walk in the door, and there is a cage right near the door, and she points out this little Gouldian finch, and she says, you see that finch? And I could see the finch looked very bad. She said, it will be dead by the end of the day. It hasn't eaten for 2 days, and little birds like this will die after a couple of days of no food. So I say to her, can I try to please help this bird? And she says, okay, be my guest. I go over to the cage, put my cheek against the bar. Normally a bird would be afraid of this, but the bird was not afraid. And I spoke aloud to the bird. Now, even though I was energetically communicating, I still said it aloud so Lainey could hear. I said, go down to your seed bowl and eat those seeds. The bird listens to me, goes down and starts scarfing up seeds like a little mini vacuum. And the more the bird eats, the stronger the bird gets. Now I'm aware there's a presence in this room, and it's Lainey's mother in spirit. And I hear the mother in spirit saying, I'm sorry I was such a weakling and I didn't protect you from him. So I say this to Lainey, and Lainey looks at me and she freaks and she says, my mother always used to say that. I'm such a weakling. Now I look down at the bird, and the bird is starting to look really messed up again. The bird's craning its neck upward and as if it's seeing something, and it's not eating. And I realize the bird is sensing another presence, and this is the presence that was making the bird sick. So I say to the bird, listen, go back to eating. I'll help Lainey with this spirit. The bird goes back to eating, and now my eyes are pulled to the ceiling where I see a purple ball. And I don't know, did I give her this ball? What? My eyes were being pulled because this other spirit wanted me to talk about it. So I ask her about this ball, and she says, no, I bought it for protection. Now the other spirit, her father, says, I want you to know that you do not need protection from me anymore, and I want you to confront me over how I molested you sexually. My growth and development requires you to make me face this, and you need to be able to confront me with this in order for you to stop being so afraid. Okay?
Wow.
Now, that was so profound, that's when I realized this dialoguing is not only for us, it's for them too.
Sure.
Right?
Well, there's this dynamic that we have with each individual with their higher self, and that higher self, you know, through the soul, you know, with basically the presence of, you know, the great spirit, you know, of love. And, you know, I've looked at this understanding of, you know, we can each have a relationship by, you know, I don't use the word trance, but going into the zone, or, you know, to saying the same thing, or going into...
Yeah.
A meditative state where you become like a still reflecting pool where you reflect the heavens and can, you know, there's different metaphors for the same thing, but the key part of this is what sometimes I refer to is the harmonious calm at the center of the swirl of the world of the hurricane, and you're in the all-seeing eye of harmonious calm. And when you're going into that state of grace, really, heart coherence, grace, whatever, that love is forgiving, and it's a two-way thing. It's forgiving the lower self, you know, from the perspective of the higher self. It's forgiving. It's giving to others, you know. And the thing,
I'm just so excited about this because you and I both know, as therapists, strength, whatever you want to call it, people are walking around so wounded with unfinished business.
Yeah.
And now that I realize, my goodness, we're not meant to say goodbye, and we're meant to reconnect and let them heal us, which brings me to the neatest part of all. You know, we both know what's our purpose on Earth, obviously to perfect our ability to love ourselves and others. I mean, this life is our love lab. But we can't love others if we don't love ourselves. And I am living proof of the challenge. How do you love yourself when you were raised in a really crazy family? You know, so often they say shrinks come from really dysfunctional families, and I'm no exception. I was beaten physically and verbally, and my problem was that in spite of all the work that I did on myself, all the therapy I did, I continued to hear my parents' mean voices putting me down, tearing me down, breaking down my self-esteem. I didn't love myself the way I should, and even though Jean adored me, in every way that he could, he was so frustrated that he couldn't help me resolve this. Now, after he left his body, I went to that professional group, and I said, I still can't get these voices to go away. And they all, you know, said, what's the party line? We're going to yell louder, and we'll yell your parents into submission. It did not work. So I come home, and Jean appeared to me in a visitation. And he showed me the answer. He was the embodiment of love. I saw him surrounded in golden light. He took my face in his hand. He turned me toward him to face this light. And he said, listen, listen, listen. Listen to me. Allow my love to enter you. And then the most amazing thing happened, and I realized that not even Jean's earthly love for me could heal me, but once he was in spirit form, freed from the vessel of his human body, his spirit and his love could then enter me unimpeded because there was no barrier of his physical vessel. And in that moment, his love for me became my own self-love. So the voices just went away and they never came back. And what I realize now is this is the ultimate power of Love Never Dies. The best way to fast-track your self-love is to reconnect with your loved ones in spirit and let them shower you with their unearthly, eternal love that heals every corner of your soul, heals you mind, body, and spirit. Now you are filled to overflowing with a love that you can share with the world.
You can't give to anyone anything you don't have for yourself.
There you go. And that's what Love Never Dies ultimately helps you to do.
That's a wonderful story. I am so grateful to have you on the show today. I think we're pretty much, you know, at the end of our time. We started about 2:15. We were going to go about 45 minutes.
So we went an hour.
Well, I certainly want to thank you for being on the show. I am so grateful to you, Dr. Love. Thanks to listeners, and thanks to Don in the studio for bringing us all together.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. So grateful. This has been an amazing show. Everyone out there, I am so grateful for you being with us. Keep the faith.
Oh, quick, got to tell them. A free gift. Free gift. Come to me at AskDrLove.com or DrLove.com. Sign up for my free newsletter, and you'll receive a free excerpt of Love Never Dies. A lot of people do that while they're waiting to get the book because they just want to get into it. So come visit me there and sign up for my free newsletter, and you'll get an excerpt.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. So everyone see the good and make it so. Bye for now. Bye, Dr. Love.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There is a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. the five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, now, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where light workers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.